Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 1st, 2021. I'm your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Ma fucking Geddes.
Bless, I don't think I've done a show with you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, man. I feel like it's been a while.
Yeah, the schedule has been all whack over the last
all over the
weeks.
Place.
So I'm happy the Tim and Bless energy on a Monday. I love it. Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's get it going.
I did two back-to-backs with Fran, and I love Fran Mirabella. I want to host Fran Mirabella more often. But I feel like what the world needs is more Bless and Tim.
100%. Hell yeah. That's what I've been saying for years, baby. Let's get it going.
Tim, how you been?
I've been good, man. This is a weekend that was much needed. You know, a lot more chill than the last couple ones have been. But this was cool. Got to watch a little FCF. Take Moose to a new dog park that is new around here.
How was the FCF game?
FCF game was very sad and disappointing because we did lose. But it doesn't matter. Because we're all in the playoffs. So
that's all that
can
matters.
Win, and all that matters is the Super Bowl. And I don't think they have a Super Bowl, but you know what? I don't know if they know what they have. We're making it up as we go.
We're one of the best FCF teams. Is that because there's only like four of them? I have no idea how many FCF teams there are.
There are four.
I've only heard four names.
Yeah.
Okay, well that makes us one of the best FCF teams. So I'll take it.
We're top four.
Top four.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, enough about FCF. Let's talk about E3's live event being canceled, more remakes from Square Enix, and Elden Ring leaks because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, PS I Love You XOXO is recording live later today on Patreon. Then, as always, it's out for everyone on Tuesday morning. It's been a huge week of PlayStation news, as you know, because PlayStation... they're definitely listeners because we put up PS Love You XOXO on Tuesday last week. We record on Monday, and then later that day on Tuesday, all the PlayStation news broke, which means that this week we have so much to talk about. So make sure if you're on Patreon, tune in live for that. Otherwise, make sure you tune into this week's episode because it should be a very good one. Then, as always, Kind of Funny XCast went live over the weekend. You can catch Snowbike Michael, Gary Whitta, and Paris Lilly as they go back and forth about Bethesda and what to expect from them this year. We have this month's Patreon Platinum tier print. Tim, I don't know if you're the one that added this to the doc, but you're aware of this. Are you good to talk about this a little bit?
No, absolutely not. It was not me, and I do not know what it is. But
Kevin,
you can go.
The link is in the doc.
To kindoffunny.com/platinum, and it'll let you know what it is.
It is a very awesome print by the homie Nerf
Alice.
There
it is. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Basically, it's a Johnny Ace print that looks amazing.
There
Johnny Ace sitting on that throne.
Boom.
Boom. You have to be a Kind of Funny Patreon Platinum tier member to get a hold of that. And so go check that out. Thank you to our
Nerf
Patreon
Alice,
producers.
Man. So talented. So talented.
Oh, my God. Dude, Alice is amazing. All of her art, every single time. Every time she puts out something new, I'm like, damn, it's awesome to have talented friends. Shout out to Nerf Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to our Patreon producers, James Davis, David Mintel, Mohammed Mohammed, the Nanobiologist, Frankfurter, Shiraz Rizak, Patrick Higgins, Travis Gajkowski, Drew Gardner, Dominic Shorter, Ginny Burnt, Joseph Solar, Katie Kaliker, and Muhammad Muhammad again for some reason. Today we're brought to you by Honey, Logitech, and DoorDash, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today. Starting with our number one.
That was really good.
Starting with our number one, E3 2021's live event has been canceled. According to LA City documents, this is an interesting one I'm pulling from Adam Bankhurst at IGN. According to Los Angeles City documents, E3 2021's physical event has officially been canceled. As spotted by VGC, a new report published by the Board of Los Angeles Convention and Tourism Development Commission states that the E3 2021 live event is canceled and that the city is working with the production team on broadcast options at LA Live / LA Convention Center. Furthermore, it's working with the ESA on licenses for both 2022 and 2023. This follows ESA's confirmation that E3 2021 would still be happening and that the ESA would be transforming the E3 experience for 2021. Quote, "We can confirm we are transforming the E3 experience for 2021 and will soon share exact details on how we're bringing the global video game community together." Tim, this one comes off of about a month ago. We got a report from VGC and they talked about how they had reports of the ESA working digital form of E3 that would take place across multiple days where they were going to go digital. And this is something that ESA hasn't necessarily publicly talked about yet. They haven't publicly announced this, but now we're getting confirmation from the ESA that it seems like E3 at the very least will not be held physically at the LA Convention Center. Tim, what is your take on this?
I think this is one of those things that's very not surprising, especially given where the world's at right now, that we're not going to have a physical E3. But I think the headline here is a little bit misleading, where E3 2021's live event has been canceled. It's not canceled because it was never announced. So it's just one of those things where it's like, this is coming from the LA City like documents or whatever. I imagine that the plan going into this year was never for E3 to have its live component at LACC. And I'm sure this is all just like back-end legal stuff of they've had that spot every year for so long, or at least most years. So I'm sure that was just part of their like first writer's refusal type thing of, do you guys want to take this or not? But the answer was always going to be no, because I imagine, based on what we heard a couple months ago, ESA has been planning a digital event. I very much think that is the case. That's what we will see year. And them talking about the quote here, they're working with the production team on broadcast options at LA Live and LACC. Like, that totally makes sense to me. Like, they, even if it's a digital event, they still need production facilities. And they've always had production facilities at those different places that are within a block and a half radius of each other. So I'm not surprised by this at all. I honestly don't think it's a bad thing either. Like, the world's not ready to go back to live conventions, so why even worry about it?
The only thing I think is a bad thing in this case is that we haven't heard anything out of ESA itself, aside from rumors and reports of people going to VGC or other outlets talking about their plans. I think it's strange that we're hearing this news that E3 is not going to be live from the LA Convention Center. I feel like that's one of those ones where it's like, cool, at this point you should have had, if I was the ESA, I feel like I would have had a press release or some sort of statement being like, hey, E3 is still happening this year, we got plans for it, stay tuned, or detail what your plans for it are, because you've had reports, you've had people come out and talk about it, you've had people you've had the news come out that it seems like it is, you guys are charging six figures for companies to get involved in this year's E3. And from the outside looking in, right, for us as the audience looking in being like, cool, what can we expect for this year's E3? It feels weird. And it feels like what we're getting out of E3 news so far is bad news coming from every other source that is not the ESA. It'd be nice for the ESA to come out and be like, hey, be cool. Like, this is what we're doing. It's okay, everybody. Calm down. We can chill out. I find that to be a little bit strange.
See, I come from the other side of it, where I think that them being quiet right now is a good thing, because to me, that means there's at least a chance they're gathering a bunch of dope shit together to wow us and kind of win people back on E3. Because if they just came out and said, hey, guys, we're E3 and we're coming back, everyone would kind of be like, we don't care, you know? But if they can come back and be like, PlayStation's involved and Microsoft's involved and Nintendo's involved, then all of a sudden it's like, well, fuck, we can't deny that. You know what I mean? Like, oh shit, that's what we want an E3 to look like, digital or otherwise. So I imagine they're working on all that. And like, with all this stuff coming out, it's only coming out because people are digging, trying to find information on it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like there's no winning when it comes to the right way to please everybody with these type of announcements and shit. It is March, which is pretty late for an E3, which,
yeah, getting,
you know,
info,
you would imagine to be early June. Having said that, though, when you start to add up the pieces about what Jeff Keighley's been talking about with Summer Game Fest this year and with what this this E3, this digital E3 could look like, I wouldn't be shocked if there was at least some level of communication happening between those teams to make sure there's not overlap. So perhaps we're not hearing things because they're trying to not have the problem of what happened last year, and people are actually communicating and trying to make a schedule that feels a little bit more feasible and tenable for, you know, both the audience and the professionals out there that need to cover the different events. Is that way too hopeful? Probably, but I mean, the realities are we know those events are happening. So It's like whatever we hear this and whatever it ends up happening almost doesn't matter because we do know it's happening.
Yeah, I think you make the good point, right? That right now they're probably heads down trying to find ways to make people care. My question for that would be, do you think they can make people care about E3 this year?
Mm-hmm.
Because you mentioned like, hey, let's go and try and get PlayStation and Nintendo and all them involved. PlayStation, I think, is a safe bet that they're not going to get involved in E3. We look at other companies, right? EA does their EA Play thing, and there seems to be no obligation for them to want to go during that week, even though we've gotten them, you know, activating that week in previous years. But within the last year, right, we got that whole summer of gaming thing, Summer Games Fest thing, where everybody was spread out all over the place. In the case where Ubisoft had multiple Ubisoft forwards, which seemingly marketed their games in a successful way, where, you know, you don't have to take away focus from Immortals Fenyx Rising when you want to talk about a Riders Republic, where you can make those their own events. I can easily see Ubisoft going, yeah, why do E3 or why do Summer Games Fest when we can do our own thing? I wonder how much of a struggle E3 is going to have this year, especially if they're going to do a digital-only event to actually get people involved when there is competition like Jeff Keighley and like companies doing their own thing.
Because the way I see it, people are fucking idiots if they're looking at this as competition and not collaboration. It's like, I don't understand if you have an event why you wouldn't want to be part of Summer Game Fest. It's just additional branding and promotion towards your shit. Like, Ubisoft Forwards, great. And I think you're absolutely right. Like, why would they want to do someone else's shit when they could do their own? Summer Game Fest isn't someone else's shit. It's just getting extra promotion and branding from one of the top influencers in the industry. Like, it's silly to me to not want to be a part of that. And, like, we don't know the back-end deals. And, like, hearing that stuff about E3 charging 100K or six figures plus, whatever. Like, we don't know what Jeff Keighley's charging, if anything, or whatever that looks like. And there has to be some levels of deals. There, like, all of this is based on money. So it makes sense. Like, whether it's advertising money or, like, cash money, baby. Like, it's all coming from somewhere and going somewhere else. So I'm interested in it. I think that E3 doesn't necessarily need all of the big dogs, but if it gets some of them, it's like all of a sudden they're interesting. It doesn't even need to be one of the big three. Like, it could be a Ubisoft. It could be EA or, you know, anyone that's ever had a press conference at E3, a proper press conference. If it's back there,
who do you think shows up though? Because my thing is, if I'm EA or if I'm any of these big companies, right, I don't think, after last year, I don't think I give the ESA the money. I Jeff Keighley, I think, is an interesting point, right, with Summer Games Fest, that Jeff Keighley probably not charging six figures to get involved, because Summer Games Fest is pretty much a glorified calendar. It's an awesome thing, right, in order for these companies to have organization and communication and be able to be like, cool, if Ubisoft Forward is going down the second week of June, EA is not going to go the second week of June. Instead, EA is going to go the third week or the fourth week or the first week in July. I think that kind of collaboration is awesome for the exact reasons you're talking about. And I think that makes complete sense, especially if Jeff Keighley's not charging six figures. Maybe it is closer to 10K or even free, or who knows. For E3 to pay in order to get involved after the last year proving that so many companies can just do it on their own, it's hard for me to think of a scenario where Ubisoft or EA or Square Enix or any of the big dogs want to get involved.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons why they would. And like, I'm not saying that like I would do it. Like, if I had to have the choice of going with E3 or going with Summer Game Fest, I'd go with Summer Game Fest. I would do my own thing and just have it be part of Summer Game Fest and get the promotion from it. That to me seems like the most duh no-brainer of it all. But the thing with E3 side of it is like, we don't know what the show's going to look like. And while it's very easy to hate on E3 for a multitude of reasons, there are certain things that they've done very well over the years. And if you pick apart certain bits of those, and they kind of reform what this is to be a digital event that works. If they get the right people involved with whatever the production of the show is, and with the whatever the hosts are, whoever the guests are that they have, like, it could turn into something where it's like, okay, well, the promotion's built in there, so it makes sense to buy your way into that. The 100K is going somewhere. And I know all of us audience people are like, well, where's it going? It's like, well, they'll have the proofs in the pudding when it's like whoever Ninja's hosting their goddamn shit. And it's like, there are brands that are like, well, it's worth us to have to spend 100K to be next to Ninja. Do we think that's worth it? People in the chat and me? No. But let me tell you, a lot of marketing people 100% think it's worth it. And yeah, they pay
especially
that money.
especially when you have that money to spend, right? Like totally. EA, I'm sure a company like EA has $100,000 to spend on very good marketing, right? If you're side by side with a Ninja or whoever the ESA is going to pair you with in order to get that boost.
We scoff at the 100K buy-in price. The people that are paying the 100K buy-in price are not. They're just going to pay it. Mm-hmm. And people on those teams will. They're going to make a big stink about it on Twitter and be like, I can't believe it, whatever. Guess what? At the end of the day, those motherfuckers are paying. It's happening.
Yeah.
The question is, who are the motherfuckers they're going to pay for this year for a digital E3 when it's hot off the tails of last year when it was just a mess and Summer Game Fest completely destroyed E3 because there wasn't an E3?
Exactly. I'm pulling directly from VGC's article from early February, right, where they talked about what the plans are for the ESA. They mentioned here, and this article is written by Andy Robinson at VGC. The ESA's intention is to hold multiple two-hour keynote sessions from games partners, an award show, a June 14 preview night, and other smaller streams from game publishers, influencers, and media partners. And that's about all we know so far. And again, these are coming from people talking to VGC and not necessarily from the ESA itself. I expect that we'll have word soon from the ESA because there have just been more and more leaks and more people talking about what E3 is going to be that are not them. And if I'm the ESA, I'm like, cool, we got to control this message at some point, even though I'm sure they are trying to figure out those partnerships. But I hope we hear from them sooner or later, or sooner than later, because right now I don't have the utmost faith in E3. And that's a combination of both what we've been reading and hearing about it, and then also just what the lay of the land looks like with how things are changing. And they could adapt to that change. I have no doubts that with enough shifting and changing that E3 could turn into something different that makes sense for 2021 and the years beyond. But again, that's a we'll see kind of thing.
Glegger in the chat says, did Summer Game Fest really destroy? And then Simpatico says, not in my opinion. Destroy is probably a harsh word there, but at the end of the day, if we're looking at the facts of it all, and it's like comparing what E3 was compared to what Game Fest did last year, I guarantee Game Fest brought way more eyes. And granted, that's cheating because there was way more things over way more time, but that is what we're comparing. It's comparing the 1 week versus the 3 months. And I mean, I know for a fact we reacted to 10 times more conferences than we ever would have if it was all just in 1 week, just because it was spread out and allowed us to be like, okay, well, this, you know, I'm blanking on even the names of them now, but help me out like here, bless.
New Game Plus Expo.
The New Game Plus Expo. We would have never reacted to that during E3, but we did there. And that's us making content out of it. So not only is that us then showing our audience that, but that's also, I guarantee so many more people are like, you know what, I'm gonna give this a chance today because I have nothing else to watch, so I'm gonna put it on. So it's like, yeah, Game Fest was a success in so many different ways. It was a failure in the sense that we all looked at it and we're like, oh, this is stretched out and, you know, there's no major announcements and it's all just kind of whatever. But it's like, at the end of the day, when you look back at it, a lot was announced in Summer Game Fest. And if you were to compare Summer Game Fest to an E3, it's up there with any of them.
It's comparable, yeah. Tim, speaking of things to look forward to, let's talk about story number two. Forever Entertainment is developing multiple remakes for Square Enix. I'm pulling from Sal Romano at Gamatsu. Forever Entertainment has entered into an agreement to develop and release multiple game remakes based on one intellectual property owned by Square Enix Japan, the company announced. The name of this property will be announced separately at the launch of a worldwide marketing campaign. The remakes will feature new visuals while maintaining the same gameplay and scenario from the original versions. Release dates will be announced separately. This is just the latest in a series of remake projects by Forever Entertainment. The company released Panzer Dragoon Remake for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, and Stadia in 2020, and will launch Panzer Dragoon 2 Zui Remake in 2021. It also announced remakes of The House of the Dead and The House of the Dead 2. Tim, a new Square Enix remake. What could it be? What are you thinking?
I don't know. I mean, this is interesting. So the Panzer Dragoon remake was not well received.
No.
So that's
they got like a 6 at IGN. I think it's like sitting at a 62 on Metacritic.
And I loved Panzer Dragoon back in the day. And I remember I played it when it came to Switch for a little bit. And I was like, oof, this is rough. So I gave up after like literally 10 minutes. But this is interesting. What are they going to do? Especially when they just announced the Final Fantasy Ever Crisis, which looks fucking awesome for coming to mobile. And I wish that was coming to Switch. And I'm hoping that we get a Switch announcement for that sometime soon, because it looks legit. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, when they did the State of Play last week, they announced Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade coming very soon in June. And they also separately Square announced that there's two Final Fantasy VII mobile games coming. One of them is literally a battle royale. And the other one,
I can't wait for that one,
is Ever Crisis, which is it's essentially a remake, another remake of Final Fantasy VII remake. But it's a Final Fantasy VII compilation remake. So it also includes the story of Dirge of Cerberus and Before Crisis and Crisis Core and all that stuff, which is very, very cool. I'm very excited for that. And it looks awesome, but it's a mobile game. So I'm hoping that it does get the port over. But that to me, it's interesting to me that we heard about that and then this news is hot off the tails of that, because that is kind of like this, but a little bit different, because we got the new visuals, but while maintaining the same gameplay and scenario. So that'll be the same scenario, but it won't be the same gameplay, because we already saw a gameplay trailer from that. And it definitely looks like a different style of game compared to any Final Fantasy we've had before, or Final Fantasy VII we've had before. So to get to your answer, Parasite Eve?
Oh my God, I was waiting for somebody to say it. I was waiting for it to come up. Give me Parasite Eve. I mean, the options are in the air right now, right? Like, my unrealistic once would be Brave Fencer Musashi, because I've been wanting some kind of comeback for that game, even though I know there's probably no reason financially for them to bring it back. I just liked Brave Fencer Musashi back in the day. But if you go through the franchises that Square Enix has access to, right, like, it could be anything. You know, I'm on the Wikipedia right now, and there are more Square Enix franchises than I think I even realized. Because,
well, dude, that's the thing, man. Because not only obviously there's Square Enix, but then there's Crystal Dynamics. There's their whole Western side of things. Like, that's what was so crazy about, like, even the Go games, the mobile games that Jen used to work on up at Square Enix Montreal. With it's like, so cool, good. Deus Ex and Lara Croft and Hitman. It's like, that's cool. Like, those franchises are Square, even if we don't think of them that way that often.
I mean, this new story does shout out, though, Square Enix Japan specifically, which narrows it down a little bit, but still leaves access to still a bunch of different IP. Right? Like, I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now, and it goes like Seven Saga, Act Razor, All-Star Pro Wrestling. Arkanoid is Square Enix? That's interesting. Battle Gear, Battle Stations, and this is the alphabetical. I'm still in the B's, mind you. And if I skip through, right, like Bushido Blade is in there. Going through, Deus Ex is Western, but Deus Ex is a Square Enix franchise that I want to have a comeback. Fighting Force, Front Mission is another one that's a little bit more popular. And like the list goes on. Mana, like there are a lot of options for them to go through.
But here's the thing, though, Bless. Like, okay, there's a lot that I want to break down here, but like, let's start with the pie in the sky. Like, what is the crazy get hype? Holy shit, I can't believe they're doing this. Because to me, the answer is Chrono Trigger.
Yep, that's what I was going to say. Chrono Trigger.
Final Fantasy VI, which I'm shocked hasn't been remade. Because, dude, let's think about this for a second. Every Final Fantasy has been remade, if I remember correctly, up until 6. Like, how did we get like a Final Fantasy IV remake, like, from 2D to 3D on the 3DS or DS? I don't even remember anymore. But how do we get that? And we never made 6. Like, the most popular one. We live in a world where we live in a society where Final Fantasy VII remake exists, at least part one, but it's out. And we haven't had a Final Fantasy VI remake on a handheld system or something. Like, that's nuts to me. We have the mobile port, but that's different.
You talk about the pie in the sky, right? Or the most get hype announcements. You're Square Enix. You're coming off of Final Fantasy VII Remake being such a successful thing that people are in love with. That is a big budget AAA title, one of the biggest titles of the year. Do you want to give a Chrono Trigger remake to Forever Entertainment, who is coming off of Legendary Dragoon that got a 62 on Metacritic?
And that's the second part that I wanted to bring up, where I'm like, but what has Forever Entertainment done is there any faith or trust that they're going to get these things right? I don't know. Like, I don't know enough about them to make that judgment, because all I know is Panzer Dragoon. But think about like Platinum, right? Where it's like, when we talk about Platinum games, it could be Bayonetta or it could be Korra.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because, like, looking at the story here, it's like it also announced remakes of The House of the Dead and House of the Dead 2. So
I'm excited about that. Love me some House of the Dead.
Me too. Those are some Sega games, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So those Sega, Dragon, and also Dragon, Sega. So okay, so they're just, so they didn't acquire Forever Entertainment. They are just entering into an agreement for them to make some games.
And I'm sure it's a similar agreement that Forever Entertainment probably has with Sega. I'm sure that's kind of their thing is, hey, who can we talk to in order to help remake their games or bring them forward or whatever.
Interesting.
And so you might have to think within that same scope of, okay, Legend of Dragoon, House of the Dead, what is that size for Square Enix that they can bring back but isn't necessarily one of their big titles, something that is more of the double A or mid-tier Square?
The Bouncer.
Oh my god. I figured it out.
I don't know if this is gonna work. Can we try to get Imran to come into this? Is that possible?
We can't right now. We can holler at Imran.
I mean, if you yell loudly enough, he might be able to hear you. I don't know if he's in the chat.
If he's in the chat, he can come through. I don't know what he's up to, is what I'm saying. He might be working. Gotcha. He has a job now.
Yeah, fuck him, though. Like, we can, you know what I mean?
I can DM him right now. Let me DM him, Ron.
DM him, man. But as you do that, just thinking about this, it's exciting to me because Square does have such a vast library of games that they can go back to. And so many of them don't really need to have any crazy upgrades or anything, and just a nice visual boost could go a long way because the gameplay and story are what they need to be already. But I don't know. It's interesting where I don't know how small they can get with this with it being worth it for them. Because it's like, sure, Chrono Trigger might be too big of a deal for them, but really, is it? Like, I remember talking to Ash over at Good Vibes Gaming recently, and Chrono Trigger is his favorite game of all time, and he was talking about how many copies it sold, and it's only in the, like, it's like a million copies sold total. And it's like, that's insane.
Oh my god, Imran Khan is fast as shit. Holy shit. I literally clicked enter 5 seconds ago.
Greg Miller, like, texted me. He's like, I have to be in there. I'm in a meeting. I really can't stay long. But
all good. Okay. All good. Okay.
Just a quick question. We're talking about Forever Entertainment. I don't know if you saw that they're working on a Square Enix remake.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Parasite Eve.
Oh my god. Let's fucking go, baby. We're here.
I love you.
We
Imran.
Did it.
Have fun in your meeting.
That's what I think. I don't know. But yeah.
Oh, Imran, I love you. Thank you so much.
All right. I got to go.
Bye.
All right. Peace out.
I love him. He's so,
if this happens, so I'm taking all credit.
Real talk, Wes, like, this is gonna be like one of the Tim Save the Bandicoot type situations of you.
We brought back Parasite Eve, me and Greg, the game that neither of us played. We brought it back from talking about it on PS. Love you. You love to see it. Speaking of things we love to see, ladies and gentlemen, we got some Elden Ring leaks. This is from Andy Robinson over at VGC. A leaked Elden Ring trailer is being actively circulated in online chat groups, VGC can confirm. The video, which has been seen by VGC but cannot be shared for legal reasons, is labeled as Bandai Namco Confidential and shows a significant amount of off-screen footage from what appears to be a planned gameplay trailer for the From Software title. The video leak represents the first significant update on Elden Ring since it was announced in June 2019, and the first time anyone has seen gameplay outside of its publisher or developer. The gameplay footage shows a montage of familiar Souls-style melee combat, boss battles against a fire-breathing dragon, and a large sword-wielding foe, and a glimpse at horseback combat in a large open environment. Since the off-screen clip seen by VGC seemingly only shows a portion of the trailer, there is no release date mentioned. However, we understand Elden Ring has already been delayed several times internally due to disruption caused by the pandemic. People with knowledge of the game's development told VGC that production has been significantly hampered by remote working restrictions, which have been in place for nearly a year. One person close to the game's development said that, due to the disruption, they believed it was unlikely Elden Ring would make it out this year. Tim, do you think we see Elden Ring this year?
No, especially with all of this, no.
Yeah, I believe it.
I think that it was the plan, but yeah, it's this to me essentially confirms 2022 for this game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I like this all sounds awesome in terms of like what they're showing in the trailer, right? And this is all stuff that we knew, right? It's coming from software, and so it's gonna have soulsy combat. It's gonna be open world. There's gonna be horseback riding. The one thing I'll say here with this whole news story is that it sucks that somebody's probably gonna get in a lot of trouble over this, right? Oh, somebody yeah. leaking this footage, and so it kind of sucks on that level. But you know, to the point of them working on it, or them having to delay it because of the pandemic and how that's affecting their work conditions, that makes sense. Take your time. Like, I don't think we need Elden Ring this year, right? Like, you know, take your time on it, polish the game, make the best game possible because people are looking forward to this game.
I mean, dude, Elden Ring, I think is they know what they have on them. And it is an extremely important thing for them to nail this, the rollout plan from head to toe, because this game has the chance to really kind of hit in a more mainstream way than the previous From titles have, simply because of the legacy that the Souls games and Bloodborne and Sekiro, all of them have built over the last couple of years. And I think we're just at this fever pitch moment of them breaking over where I think the narrative of, oh my God, these games are way too hard, it's impossible to get into them, has changed to like, no, like it's worth getting into, and you know, all that, like you can ease into it. Add George R. R. Martin to it and all that stuff. It's just like, and the fact that this is going to be a next gen game that people are like looking forward to, that it's going to potentially push the boundaries of all this shit.
Now, like, we don't know that. They've not announced platform yet. That's which brings in a question from Neil Aoshi, who writes in and says, hey, insert who is hosting today. Long time, first time. With Elden Ring news on the horizon, do we see this being a 2021 launch or further? Also, do we think this is going to be a next-gen game? What are your excitement levels with Elden Ring now that KF has dabbled more in the Souls-like games the past year or so? And this is an interesting one, because I think the easy answer is yes, there has to be a next-gen version of this game, because it's a huge release. You know, if it's coming out in 2021 or 2022, why wouldn't you have a next gen version unless you've been working on it for a long time and that wasn't in the cards?
I think it's the opposite way that they're asking. Are we getting a PS4 and Xbox One version? We're obviously getting a PS5 and Xbox Series X version or Series version.
I think that's a good question. I don't know.
Because like
I think you probably do get both.
I don't know. Like, we'll see. I mean, it depends on when this game's actually coming out and what this looks like. I think that it's going to be undeniable the change and shift of what Cyberpunk did for the industry. Where you have to look at this and be like, at some point, I bet you developers will look into the games and be like, all right, cool. We have the other gen version. We have the next gen version. Is the other one good enough to put out, or are we going to get totally ripped apart for this? And at some point, that money and having to deal with refunds and all that is just simply not going to be worth it. So I can see them like trying to cut and run or whatever. And also it'll hit a point where if it does come out late enough, it'd be weird to come out on the last gen console. But
I mean, is it when you have that install base? Like I for me, that's the big thing, is this is a third party game. And so for them, what matters most is sales. And if you are going to release this game in if your plan was to release this game in 2021, 1,000% you're doing cross-gen. 2022, I think that becomes more a little bit more of a question, but if you have those versions already being worked on and probably very far along at that point, then I think you still release for both last-gen and current-gen, because at that point, what do you have to lose by releasing cross-gen?
I think you're right, but when we look at From Software, it's like there's a lot of things where we can look at it and be like, well, why didn't they do this or why didn't do that? It's like, why doesn't Bloodborne have a 60 FPS version yet? You know what I mean?
It's because like they're working on that remaster, 60 FPS, ray tracing. Yeah. It takes work. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that to be true, but like I hope that's true.
I get it. It's just one of those things where I'm like, sometimes the most obvious answer isn't what they're going to actually do because of a bunch of things that we don't understand or like behind the scenes stuff. But I think that Elden Ring definitely has more going for it than some of the other ones have. I mean, I'm more excited for it than I would be if George R. R. Martin wasn't involved. So there's something there.
Do you think you're going to try it out? Like, what is your hype level for Elden Ring?
My hype level is I'm super hyped that this seems to be the game for so many people and like that they have something mega huge to look forward to. I'm definitely going to give it a shot. I'm not expecting it to stick with me, but you know, they've earned that. They've earned that from me because their lineage has been fantastic, and I like George R. R. Martin. So they're making the right calls to get me interested.
Yeah, I'm super hyped for Elden Ring. I'm more hyped for Elden Ring than I realized I could ever be, coming off of beating Bloodborne in December and then following that up by playing through and beating Sekiro. Over the weekend, I legit booted Sekiro back up. And I'm not the type of person that returns to games as much after beating them. Usually I'm like, okay, cool, I beat it, I'm done. And if I really want to play more, if the platinum's extremely attainable, then I'll go for a platinum or I'll go for side content and all that stuff. But I'm usually not that type of person. And over the weekend, I was just like, man, I kind of just want to go back, because I've been craving Sekiro. I've just been thinking about it while I'm not playing it, because the gameplay of it is so addicting, and the way that the combat works and all this stuff. And I'm at the point where I'm seriously considering either doing a new game plus or starting from scratch, you know, now that I've beaten all the bosses and I know their patterns, and I could probably beat that game way faster than I did the first time. It's kind of like a challenge that I want to do for myself. And like that is translating to how much I kind of want Elden Ring, because I know for From Software, playing Bloodborne and then playing Sekiro back to back and seeing how dynamically different those two games are, but how phenomenally they are designed, makes me look at Elden Ring and go, well, if they're able to make this gothic horror game fantastically, and they're also able to make this shinobi fast combat game as good as it is, I want to see their take on an open world. I want to see their take on what a George R.R. Martin designed world can look like. That sounds awesome to me. And so I am very much looking forward to Elden Ring at this point.
I'm excited, because it seems like a lot of Kind of Funny is going to be into Elden Ring when it comes out, in a way that a year ago we wouldn't have been. You know, we got you and Andy kind of pushing forward for sure. And Imran isn't with us anymore, RIP, but like, nice, I'm sure he'll make some appearances to talk about that as well. But I, speaking of going back to old games, I booted up Jedi Fallen Order just because I had that same itch. Oh, where I was just like, man, I want some of this. And like, that was the closest I've gotten into being into that type of gameplay. And man, I can't wait till the sequel's announced.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted about the Jedi Fallen Order sequel, and I hadn't even thought about that yet. Like, Jedi Fallen Order came and went a little bit for me, but I loved it as I was playing it. And when you made that tweet, I was like, yeah, I could go for a Jedi Fallen Order game. Like, that does sound like a fun thing to play right now.
Hell yeah, man.
Speaking of EA, though, story number four, EA's delayed the next Need for Speed. This is Owen S. Good at Polygon. Electronic Arts will postpone the next Need for Speed game by a year and put its studio, Criterion Games, to work supporting EA DICE on the Battlefield series, which will debut on the PS5 and Xbox Series X this fall. In an interview, EA's top executives for studios stressed that neither franchise is in trouble, nor is Criterion being taken off its next Need for Speed project. Laura Meal, EA's chief studios officer, told Polygon that pandemic working conditions and the Codemasters acquisition already delivering at least one racing game for EA later this year made reassigning Criterion a rational call. Quote, Battlefield is shaping up great. The team has been working incredibly hard. They pushed hard last year. And yes, we have been working from home, Meal told Polygon. She continues, and it's hard. It's hard to make games from home. And the EA DICE team is fatigued a bit. We have a great game and some incredible potential with this game. We're playing to win. We're playing to put a great Battlefield game out in the market, end quote. As a reminder, last November, EA mentioned that the next Battlefield and the next Need for Speed games should be out by March 2022. So there you go. Tim, do you have any thoughts on this one?
So originally they were saying by March 2022, but now it's delayed a year. So the next Need for Speed would be by March 2023.
They're not necessarily delayed it a year, but well, actually, oh, I guess, I guess that makes sense.
I mean,
so I guess that would make it 2023.
Obviously, take whatever time you need. Like, don't put out bad projects. That doesn't help anybody, and it's just a waste of time and money and all of that. I hope, I dream that one day we'll get a Need for Speed of consequence again, because Need for Speed used to really mean something, and now it just kind of just feels like a title that could have put out six different games in the last 10 years, or could have put out one and none of us would really know the difference. You know what I mean? Because it just kind of, they just happened. I know like Need for Speed Heat came out, but it just kind of just came and went. Like, I wonder if there's anything they can do to make it really relevant again. Because it used to be a powerhouse, man. Like, God,
do you think
I love
Criterion
an
is the answer? Because this is the first Need for Speed by Criterion in a while. Because the last two have been made by Ghost Games. The last three, I want to say, and the previous one that Criterion worked on, I believe, was the reboot of Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that it could be. And I, you know, it getting delayed or pushed back for pandemic reasons isn't the best news. I'd much rather it be like, hey, we're pushing it back because we want time to like get this right, just as its own thing, not because of some other external factors. But again, I hope that this means good things. And all of this leans to the most faith I've had in a Need for Speed in a long time. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And then yeah. Battlefield is like, cool. Of course, there's another Battlefield coming, but it has been a while since we've had one, or at least heard about one. So,
yeah, this all makes sense. I've been sad for a while that like Criterion has been relegated to this support studio, because Criterion they're Burnout, right? And those are some of my favorite racing games, and I'd love for Burnout to make a return. But at this point, I'm kind of giving up hope, because with EA having both Need for Speed and Burnout, Need for Speed, I think just in name, automatically just sells more units for them, and so they just want to keep churning those things out, which I get. Like, do your thing, I get it. But at the very least, I hope Criterion making the return kind of brings back that Burnout spirit, because I thought we were going to get that a bit in Need for Speed Payback when we saw the trailer for that, and then again from Need for Speed Heat. I know some people really liked Need for Speed Heat, but yeah, I don't know. I hope we see a return to form for Need for Speed, because I'm with you that this last generation of Need for Speed kind of blurs together. Like, it started off with Rivals. We got the Need for Speed game that was just called Need for Speed. We got Payback. We got Heat. And I look at all those games and I'm like, cool. Like, I usually jump in for a session, and then I'm like, yeah, this is definitely a modern Need for Speed, and then pop out.
Yeah, Kev, so. If you could bring this up. Here's the thing, Bless. Obviously, I'm a Need for Speed Underground fan. I just want another Underground, whether it's Underground 3 or I much just prefer just a new reboot called Need for Speed Underground. But like, look how good this PS2 game looks.
Dude, I remember, so I had Burnout 3 Takedown on the PS2, and there was a demo for Need for Speed Underground 2 in Burnout 3 Takedown, which is the thing that I miss when that happened, because that would happen all the time in the PS2 era. But I used to play that demo all the time and be like, what is this cool-ass fucking game? Like, they're fucking racing at nighttime. It's all cool.
The soundtrack is just incredible. But, dude, how is this game almost 20 years old?
Yeah, it looks amazing.
And, like, imagine this with ray tracing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the most beautiful thing about Need for Speed Underground was all the puddles and how reflective and Tokyo it all looked. You know, oh my God, it'd be amazing.
God, bring it back. Tim, I have a couple of more news stories for you, but before we get there, I want to tell you about our sponsor, of course. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Honey. We all shop online, and we've seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout. I gotta pause myself on the video because it's weird seeing myself on the Twitch screen go full screen while I'm reading. back to the ad. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. Imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When at checkout, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Kind of Funny loves Honey. Tim Geddes himself has used it for years and has saved thousands of dollars. He says himself, you're silly if you don't use it. It's free and easy. Isn't that right, Tim?
Silly.
Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. That's right, free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid in supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games so they know that we sent you. We're also brought to you by Logitech. Gaming headsets are important. You want a headset with a good mic, good sound, and a headset that feels comfortable to wear. That's what's best about the G733 wireless gaming headset from Logitech G. The G733 Lightspeed wireless gaming headset comes with 2.4 gigahertz wireless connectivity, front-facing dual-zone LightSync RGB, Blue Voice mic technology, Pro G audio drivers, and multiple colorways to choose from. It also has total freedom with up to 20 meters wireless range with Lightspeed Wireless. Keep playing with 29 plus hours of battery life. play wirelessly on PS4 with stereo sound. With front-facing dual-zone LightSync RGB lighting, you can personalize your headset lighting across style and comfort. The reversible suspension headband is designed for the ultimate comfort during long play sessions. Each G733 colorway has its own unique headband design. There's also soft dual-layer memory foam that conforms to your head and contours around the jaw for a better seal, reduced stress points, and delivers longer-lasting comfort. Greg was very entertained last week with the whole contour around the jaw for a better seal. And now that I say it out loud, I'm also very fascinated with that because I want to know what that looks like. Because that must be like wearing like a bike helmet, but cooler, you know, because it's a headset. Yeah. You know, get that tight grip going. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's available in multiple colorways, each with its own vibrant reversible headband and corresponding ear pads. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners express shipping at logitechg.com. Use code KINDAFUNNYDAILYFREESHIP31 for express shipping today. That's express shipping for all Logitech G products with promo code KINDAFUNNYDAILYFREESHIP31. Hurry now, since after this promo, the code expires in 3 days. Last but not least, brought to you by DoorDash. You want Chinese, they want pizza, and someone is craving froyo. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash connects you with the restaurants you love right now and right to your door. And now you can get the grocery essentials you need with DoorDash too. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items delivered in under an hour. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, where you want it from, and your items will be left safely outside your door with the contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Australia, and now Canada, you can support your neighborhood go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Popeyes, Chipotle, and Cheesecake Factory. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. For our Canadian listeners, use code GAMESCA. That's 25% off, up to $10 in value, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021 in the U.S. and GAMESCA in Canada. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 or GAMESCA for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. Story number five, Bandai Namco trademarks Bandai Namco Next. This is Steven Tailby at Push Square. It looks as though Bandai Namco will be joining its peers with its very own digital showcase. The publisher has registered a new trademark for something called Bandai Namco Next, which is almost certainly going to be a live broadcast in which the company delivers news on upcoming releases. Akin to something like a State of Play or Ubisoft Forward, we anticipate this is Bamco's own show through which it'll provide updates on its own IP. Perhaps what's most exciting about this is that right now, the rumor mill is worrying about Elden Ring, From Software's next action RPG. Currently, the internet is abuzz about a leaked gameplay trailer. Could it be that the game will make its long-awaited return during Bandai Namco Next? And Tim, that's something we hadn't talked about in the previous news story. Where do we see this trailer that's leaked online? Do we see it soon, and do we see it at a possible Bandai Namco Next?
Well, bless, it would make a lot of sense to be at a Bandai Namco Next.
Yeah.
if Bandai Namco has never done a showcase like this, and all of a sudden they're doing a showcase like this right after we see leaked footage from what looks like a trailer for Elden Ring, I imagine that trailer for Elden Ring is going to be the you know, kind of linchpin of this whole thing.
Yeah. No, that would be the hotness. That would make a lot of sense. Now, do you think Bandai Namco Next is indeed going to be a EA Play or State of Play type thing? And when do you think we see it?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think it'll be as big as like EA Play. I think this will be more similar to like a smaller Ubisoft Forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, and I imagine we'll see it fairly soon.
I hope so, man. I could, like, we talk about how the whole E3 Summer Games Fest thing just lasts the whole year now. But with the way that this year has kind of kicked off, when I say this year, I mean the last week. The last couple weeks kind of went, right, where we got the Nintendo Direct, the State of Play, the Pokemon Presents. I'm in it, man. I'm ready. Give me more of the things. What's up, Tim?
I have a theory.
What's up?
And I might be wrong about this, but taking all of the news stories from today and putting them together, except for the Need for Speed story. Bandai Namco Next will be part of E3.
Ooh, I can see it.
You asking like sense. You saying like what could get people interested with E3? It's like it's this type of thing.
Yeah, potentially. I think that would totally make sense, right? Like I could see. When we're talking about who is E3 partnering for this year's event, I struggle hard in terms of the Ubisofts and the PlayStations especially and the EAs especially, because we've seen them separate themselves a bit. But something like Bandai Namco, I think, makes more sense. And I could see also a Square Enix and those publishers being like, yeah, there's some value in this. Let's cough up the however much money it is to get that E3 naming alongside our convention or alongside our presentation in order to get that promo.
Yeah, could be interesting. And like the thing is, I have seen a lot of different press conferences come and go over the years, right? Bethesda didn't always have a press conference, then all of a sudden it did. Konami back in the day had one and then didn't. Square Enix, every once in a while, they are, depending on their titles, they either do or don't, and the scale to, you know, which they exist changes depending on the year. But Bandai Namco, I like the idea of different devs and publishers kind of having showcases when they have enough things to show, or even when they have a main event thing, and then we can be introduced to things around that. I think that that's when these showcases work best. So the idea of if it is Elden Ring that's getting us all in, but then that's surrounded by all the other Bandai Namco titles, sure, we're going to get a lot of anime stuff, but, you know, there's going to be some cool things in there.
See, it's interesting because if I'm PlayStation or Xbox, I'm getting Elden Ring in my presentation.
I mean, that's
the one wrinkle is like, one of them has to be like, yo, we gotta own this thing. I forget where we got kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Where was Elden Ring first revealed? Was it revealed at a PlayStation or Microsoft aligned thing?
Wasn't it Game Awards? I could be wrong.
Sekiro was definitely
Sekiro
Game
was
Awards.
Game Awards, yeah.
People are saying Xbox E3.
Okay.
Yeah, people are saying it was at Xbox E3.
Xbox E3 2019.
I would anticipate the next time we see Elden Ring might be at a Microsoft thing. And also, there were rumors about this a bit earlier that Microsoft has some sort of presentation coming up, and people were theorizing that we'd see Elden Ring there. And then I think it was Aaron Greenberg that was like, hey, don't expect any sort of big thing at a Microsoft conference anytime soon. And that includes Elden Ring. And so who knows? But if they're planning to reveal... See, this is all difficult because I think that Elden Ring is probably a sooner than later trailer drop, and that wouldn't line up with E3.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude,
but that would line E3's up with the Bandai Namco next.
2 months from now. Maybe three.
God, I guess it is.
Depending on how you do math. But
3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do bets because I like this conversation. What month do we get Elden Ring reveal? Elden Ring trailer drop.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Aaron Greenberg very clearly was talking about Elden Ring and just being like, what he was saying is that there's no Xbox conference anytime soon. Mm-hmm. That's what he was saying. He wasn't saying there's no Bandai Namco Next coming anytime soon.
For sure.
So that could happen. Although,
but it's just the question
less.
Of where does this land? Where does an Elden Ring get revealed?
I'm with you in the sense that Xbox and PlayStation are going to want Elden Ring associated with them, and it's already Xboxes, and I don't think they're going to lose that. So I do imagine that there is a very good chance that we see this trailer at whatever the next Xbox conference is, even if that's no time soon. Which, if that's the case, then maybe this Bandai Namco Next isn't a digital showcase at all. It could just be a trademark.
Like a blog post, honestly. Like it could be a series of blog posts where they're like, hey, here's what we have going on over the course of the next year and a half, and we're going to lay it out for you. But Bandai Namco Next doesn't mean that is the reveal for Elden Ring, but Elden Ring can make an appearance. Mm-hmm. We could get a Microsoft thing, and then the next day get Bandai Namco Next, which is the big gameplay breakdown of what an Elden Ring would be. You know, like we have options like that because we've seen things like that before.
Jeff Grubb in the chat is saying, I do know that Xbox has tried to lock down Elden Ring marketing, but don't know if it got it. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's
another wrinkle.
But I mean, I do think, I imagine that we're going to get. Okay, let's do some.
I want to do bets. I want to do a two-layer bet. Okay. Mm-hmm. One, when do we get the Elden Ring trailer? And we can just go month, right? What month do we get the Elden Ring trailer? And then two, how do they drop it?
I don't know. Like, where do I really don't know. This is hard because a question I want to ask first is when is Xbox's next showcase? Are we not getting an Xbox showcase in any form until E3 or Game Fest? Because you imagine they're going to be around the same time. If anything, because we know Jeff said that Game Fest is a month this time instead of 3 months. Thank God. Mm-hmm. But it's like, where does E3 fall into that? Is it going to be part of it? Is it going to kick it off? Is it going to end it? Is it going to be separated?
Has he said which month? There. Did he say which month?
I don't think so.
It's going to be a month during the summer. Man, this is interesting.
You know? Yeah.
Because for the Microsoft there. Question, I would say May. But also, for Microsoft, what do you have? You know, like, what are you going to show at your presentation? I guess you have a lot of stuff that you can show that's going to come out next year, maybe. Yeah.
Totally.
I'm going to say May or June for a Microsoft conference. The tough thing is, I think this Elden Ring trailer. Okay, you know what? I'm going to say it. I'm going to put out the prediction. I think we get the trailer in May. I think it's included in a Microsoft presentation.
Ah, this is hard. I mean, all right. I'm like 50-50 on, is it coming out in March? Like this trailer, is it just going to drop somewhere? Or is it going to be part of this Bandai Namco next? And if so, well, where does that fall?
The Bethesda, I'm going
to say it's part of Bandai Namco next. No.
The Bethesda, I mean, if you want some more info too, the Bethesda acquisition, I believe, finalizes sometime soon. I think within the next month or so. And people have been running that rumor mill that's going to align with some sort of Bethesda presentation. I think they talked about that on XCast also. And so that might push an actual Microsoft-related thing to later, if that's how they wanted to reveal
it. I mean, is a Microsoft-related thing.
Yeah, but they wouldn't pull Elden Ring, though, in that.
No.
Yeah.
That would just be Bethesda specifically. So yeah, I mean, fuck it. I'll say it. Bandai Namco next, and I'm going to say it in June.
In June?
It'll be during E3.
See, if it's a Bandai Namco next, I think it's happening this month.
Okay.
I'll let you have it though. Like, okay, so cool. We're locking it in. I guess we don't necessarily have to bet anything specific. Let's just bet for the fame, for the fame and glory. What was the Indiana Jones thing?
Another pizza party.
But Kevin has so many pizza parties coming to him.
Yeah.
No, let's do it for the fame and glory. Speaking of the opposite of fame and glory, let's talk about story number 6, which is our last news story for the day. We've got even more stories of Stadia struggle. This comes from Jay Peters at The Verge. Two new reports from Bloomberg and Wired have shed some light on some of Google's failures in building its Stadia cloud gaming service. The reports come just a few weeks after Google announced it would be shutting down its in-house Stadia game development studios. One key issue, according to Wired, is that Google may not have put as much investment in its internal studios as its much-hyped plans for Stadia may have suggested. Stadia chief Phil Harrison announced Google Stadia Games and Entertainment Studios at the Games Developer Conference in 2019 when Google made its first big splash with Stadia. However, according to Wired, quote, it would be months until Google would actually hire the bulk of the studio's developers, end quote. Google's goal was to hire 2,000 people over the course of 5 years to make Stadia games, Wired reported. Two sources also told Wired that Stadia, quote, did not meet internal expectations in 2020. That's backed up by Bloomberg, which reported Google missed Stadia targets for, quote, sales of controllers and monthly active users by hundreds of thousands, end quote. Google also attempted to attract users to Stadia by making deals with publishers for ports of tentpole games like Red Dead Redemption 2 in the tens of millions of dollars, reports Bloomberg. And according to Jason Schreier, the author of the Bloomberg story, Google apparently spent tens of millions per port. For now, Stadia will continue to exist as a platform, even though Google won't be making games for it. Tim, this is just another round of reports based on what we've gotten out of Google Stadia, and it doesn't seem like it was well planned, is what I'll say for the least.
Yeah, at the definitely. Least. I mean, the most shocking thing to me is that the amount of money spent to secure the ports coming to Stadia of tens of millions of dollars. Like, that's crazy. At the end of the day, that's what things cost. And that this goes back to the six-figure price entry into E3. These motherfuckers got money on a level that we don't understand. So obviously this led to not having the success that they'd be looking for there, but they will throw around this money when necessary, or sometimes when not necessary.
Yeah, the thing that messes me up a little bit here is that they spent so much money on third-party games like Red Dead and other games, but they seem to not have the same commitment whatsoever with first-party, which I think is an interesting thing, right? Like, you would think that if you're going to go that hard for third-party, put in the same amount of investment for first-party, and that
right? Didn't they put the investment in, but they just never, like, it takes time to make games. So you can't just, like, come out of nowhere and be like, we're starting this dope-ass first-party team, and then it's like, well, okay, the game's coming in 3 years, so that means Stadia needs to exist in 3 years.
Well, I guess that's the thing too. I guess that's kind of where I'm coming from. Like, they didn't. It's not even the money thing. It's more so the, hey, how do we prep and plan for this big thing that we're planning? Because Stadia didn't come out of nowhere, right? They didn't launch it out of thin air. They must have been planning this for years. And with that being the case, you got to start getting that studio going, that first party development going years prior to launching this thing, so that by the time you actually come to launch of the service, you have a game or two that you're able to be like, cool, this is a AAA Stadia exclusive that you can get hype for. The fact that it seems like they didn't actually get that going until after Stadia's announcement speaks to, again, like, just bad management in terms of this launch.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm sure we're going to get a lot more stories about Stadia in the near future. But Tim, the near future is so far away. If I wonder what's coming out to mom drop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts, who want to let Bless know that was the worst segue of all time each and every weekday.
Yeah. See, I gotta kill that segue.
The future is so far away.
Is it not, though? Literally, far, like, is relative.
The most, like, oxymoronical thing.
Again, time is relative. Near future, far for somebody. What makes up the thing far? We have no idea. Out today, we got, why is Microsoft Edge opening on my computer right now? Get out of here. Right, out today, we got Foregone for PC, A Guilder's Journey for Switch, Gunslugs 2 for Switch, Teamfight Manager for PC, Blazeball Season 12 launches today, and then the Mario items in Animal Crossing are now live. New dates for you: Cobra Kai Card Fighter is out March 19th for the App Store and Google Play.
What is that?
I saw some gameplay footage of this, Tim.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'm into this one. I don't know if that's gonna be the Cobra Kai game. I don't know if this is the one, Chief. I think this Cobra Kai game might not be the one that gets people in, even though there is that other Cobra Kai game that I've heard decent things about. And so
funny.
If you want your Cobra Kai gaming fix, it's out there for you. I'm pretty sure whether you like cards or fighting games, there's something for you. Tim, now it's time to squad up. Greg writes in, not our Greg, a different Greg writes in with a squad up on PS5 and says, started playing Borderlands 3 and want someone to run around and loot stuff with. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to run around and loot stuff with Greg, not Greg Miller, you can add Greg on PS5 with the username Gregory Gerdes. Gregory Gerdes is what I'll say. That is spelled GREGORYGERDES. Gregory Gerdes. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong, where that's where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services. Let's see here. Ooh, this is an interesting one. A writes in with a you're wrong, and I should probably confirm this, but it seems like the SA... Actually, let me confirm it before I actually say it out loud. Let's see here. This has to do with the... Okay, it seems like ESA back in early February, when that original report came out from VGC, confirmed to IGN that E3 2021 would be digital. But I also kind of want to find the quote, because I don't want to... Yeah, it seems like they confirmed that, and so there you go. What else is... You're wrong here. Editorializing.
This is a good one. Charles Jacobson saying, Elden Ring was actually announced as a PS4, Xbox One, PC game. It was meant to come out before the new consoles came out.
See, I thought you knew that. I thought the conversation was more so would they cancel. the previous gen versions.
Yeah, which, I mean, definitely, I think is likely at this point. But that's based on thinking this is going to be a 2022 game. And if it is a 2022 game, I don't think it's January.
That's it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. For Kind of Funny Games Daily, hosts this week go like this. Tomorrow, it's Greg and Gary Whitta. Wednesday, it's Tim and Andy. Thursday, it's Greg and Paris Lilly. And then Friday, it's me and my roommate, Michael Hyam from GameSpot. And so look out for that. That should be a very good one. If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this is Mike, Nick, and Andy playing what, Kevin?
Mike's not here, right?
Mike's out. Is he not?
Yeah.
Oh, no, then Mike. It's Nick and Andy playing what, Kevin?
Control.
Oh, playing some of that control, and so that should be a good time.
Out of control, man. Wow.
Get out of control. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news needs to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, so stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.